chapter number 2. I want to make you aware that beginning in April the 14th, we will start a new group called Grief Share. This is a group for those who have lost loved ones to death and they're grieving. We'll give you some more information about that, make you more aware of that as we get closer to the time. But that will be on the second service, following the second service, every week for about 12 to 13 weeks. And again, that will start not till April the 14th. But you might keep that in mind. We'll give you some more information about that. But if you know anyone that would maybe benefit from that, if they've lost a loved one in the last few months or a year or whatever, maybe they're still grieving. Maybe it's been longer than that. They would benefit from this. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I'd like to speak to you for a few minutes tonight on the topic of, in verse number 1, I'll use the words there of the Bible, one accord in one place. One accord in one place. And Lord, we ask you tonight to help me as I teach. I pray that you'll give me the words to say. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to draw closer to you, but also, Lord, draw close to one another. This is our prayer. We ask it in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. And amen, and you may be seated. Suddenly, verse 2 says, suddenly there came a sound from heaven. That sounds like last night. I think there might be some connection between the way lightning and thunder happens and the way the day of Pentecost came in. Because I know the word says suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. But really, if you look at this in the fullness of the context of it, you'll realize that this was not, although it was sudden, it was not immediate. What I mean by that is there were a few things that precipitated the suddenly. We would have to go back to chapter 1 to envelop all of them. And if you want to flip back a page, we'll take a little poke at it here. I think maybe just look at a couple of verses to give you some idea. When Jesus is speaking to them in verse number 4, the Bible says, being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. He says, don't depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, you have heard of me, for John baptized with water, you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. He tells them in verse 8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So he tells them there to stay in Jerusalem and to tarry. In verse number 12, then returned they unto Jerusalem. And then verse 13, when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord. This is not Acts 2, this is Acts 1. And they all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. Now, these are things that are going on before we get to Acts chapter 2 and to verse number 2, and we read the words, and suddenly. I'm just saying to you that there were some precipitating factors. Last night I was sitting in my living room when there's weather coming in. I'm so nice. I just tell my wife, you go on to bed, sweetheart. I'm going to stay up and keep watch over the weather, and I'll wake you up if there's a tornado. Isn't that nice of me? It's not because I'm nervous. I just want to be, I'm dutiful that way. So we'll leave it at that. But I was sitting there in the living room, and without warning, boom, crashing thunder. And I see through my window the lightning. Now, thankfully, we didn't get everything that they said we could have gotten. And we didn't get the tornadoes, and we didn't get the terribly damaging wind. And I don't know about you, I didn't have any hail damage at our house or to my vehicles, but thank God for that. But I was thinking about that lightning, how that suddenly it takes place. Now, suddenly, that whole idea of suddenly simply means it was suddenly to our observation. Before the lightning flashed and before the thunder crashed, there were a whole lot of precipitating factors. I didn't see them. I wasn't aware of them, nor were you. But they were going on way up in the sky, up in those clouds. There were all, and I don't know all the scientific jargon that goes along with lightning and all of that. I do know there's clouds, and in the clouds there's rain droplets and ice droplets, and they're rising and falling. And just like you dragging your feet across the carpet, and you pick up all those charges of static electricity and the electrons and all of that, and they're looking for an outlet. And so when you touch that light switch or you touch that doorknob, you create a little lightning right there. Well, that's what's going on up in the clouds. There's all this friction going on, all this turbulence, all this wind activity, all these droplets and ice, and they pick up these charges of static electricity, and pretty soon there's this precipitous discharge of boom, it's lightning suddenly to us. It wasn't sudden to the Lord. It wasn't sudden to the one who created lightning. He understood all of these factors have been churning maybe for hours in the atmosphere, and then all of us sudden, boom. This is what happened on the day of Pentecost. It wasn't a suddenly out of nowhere. I'm telling you that there were these men and these women who had received a word from heaven that if you will go to Jerusalem and you tarry there, and you pray, and you expect the promise. And that's exactly what they did. The Bible says they went into an upper room. They kind of turned into a lightning rod, go as high as they can, and they got their hands raised, I'm sure, and they began to pray, and they got ready for whatever God was going to pour out. And all the while they were doing this, see, there's all this activity going on. And then the wind begins to blow, and suddenly comes this sound from heaven as of a rushing, mighty wind. Let me take you behind the scenes of some things. Let me take you behind the scenes of revival. Behind the scenes of our children being filled with the Holy Ghost and being baptized in Jesus' name. Let me take you behind the scenes of these young people getting filled with the Holy Ghost and getting blessed by the Lord. Behind the scenes of sermons and messages coming across the desk, behind the scenes of that day, that night, whatever, when you were standing out there singing along with this praise team as they delivered to you what they had prepared. Behind the scenes, not just rehearsals, I'm not just talking about that. Not just studying the word, I'm not just talking about that. I'm not even just talking about the teaching that is poured into the lives of these young men and women that I just mentioned. But I'm talking about things that happen in the invisible atmosphere of prayer closets and prayer rooms where moms and dads have been praying, and children's pastors and youth pastors and ministers and saints and brothers and sisters have been praying and crying out names before the Lord. And what you've done when you do that, when you begin to pray, you are sending up this atmospheric activity that goes up into the heavens. And there's a lot of activity going on up there. And all of a sudden, it's sudden that we see little ones get the Holy Ghost. But it wasn't sudden in the heavens. There was some precipitous things that were happening in the prayer rooms and the prayer closets and at home. People kneeling at their couches and kneeling beside their beds and praying in their cars on the way to church. There was a lot of preparation that went into that suddenly moment. Part of this preparation is right here in verse number 1 of chapter 2 when the Bible says that they were all with one accord and they were in one place. We live in such a divided world. It's disheartening. I'll be honest with you, at times, even as a Christian, it's unnerving. And if you're not careful and you watch too much Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, or whatever, and oh, God help you, don't watch The View, please. If you watch some of that stuff, you'll get discouraged because it gets in your spirit. Brother Bunch and I were just having a short discussion before the service began, and he was talking to me about some things that are going on, you know, and just in the world right now. And that old song came to my mind that my treasure is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. If your treasures are laid up down here, this is a very, very disheartening time. And let me just tell you, and I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news, but as we get closer and closer to November, the second Tuesday particularly of November this year, things aren't going to get better. The division in our nation, right now, is affecting the whole world. Everybody's weighing in on our elections. And so as we get closer to that day, if you think all of a sudden we're going to wake up next week and our nation is suddenly unified, you're sadly mistaken. In fact, I will tell you, no matter who wins the election come November, our nation will be more and more divided until Jesus comes, because this world, we're not seeking unity in the world. Let me tell you this. The church has not been called to save America. The church has been called to save Americans. And we are called to souls. We are called to individuals. We won't do it. We won't do it from the White House. We won't do it from the governor's mansion. But we can do it from pulpits and pews. And we can do it in your workplaces. And we can do it in our schools. And you win the world one soul at a time. So if your hope is that this nation is going to heal, I hope you're right. I'll pray with you that it does. I'm not going to quit praying, but I'm not putting my hope in that. I'm putting my hope in the fact that one of these days, all these preparations we have made is going to pay off because the trumpet is going to sound. And we're getting out of this place. Right now there sits west of Bloomington, a little lady named Bernice Johnson. She's a member of the church. Most of you don't know Bernice because she's 96 or 97 now, and she doesn't get to church but on Easter if she's able. But she's been going to the doctor lately, was in the hospital lately, and there little things going wrong with her esophagus and those kind of things, and then now her heart is in AFib, and so they're thinking of shocking that 96-year-old heart. And she says, I don't want it. This is a 96-year-old saying, I don't want to die like that. You know what she said? She told Sister Clara Axum, she said, I want to die in the rapture. She's 96 and thinking she's going to make the rapture. You know what I think? I think she's right. I think she's right. Jesus is coming. We better keep our minds on the fact that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Okay, so that's all true of the world. I'm not praying for unity in the world, I'll be honest with you, but I am expecting unity in the body of Christ. And we can have a unified church in a divided world. Let me rephrase that. We must have a united, unified church in a divided world. One accord, meeting in one place, and suddenly revival can take place. Suddenly the supernatural can break out. Suddenly in an environment that is inducive to the Holy Ghost moving, anything can happen. Amen. I think that's what we're going to have to really concentrate on, is keeping ourselves together in unity. And let me say this, unity is not something that we simply pray for. I've heard people pray for unity, and I have prayed for unity, and I do pray for unity. But the Lord spoke to me here just recently and said, you know, unity is not just something to be prayed for. Unity really is a byproduct of humility. I taught on humility a couple of Sundays ago. And so pride is the antithesis of unity. Pride demands our way. We've got to have it our way. Pride says, I can't admit when I'm wrong. Pride says, I'll never compromise to get along with anybody. You see it my way, or we'll just part ways. That's pride. But humility says, you may never ask me to forgive you, but I'll forgive you anyhow. Humility says, if I am wrong, I will apologize quickly. And even if I'm not wrong, I'm going to come and try to get along and reconcile with my brother. That's humility. You want to find out how humble you are? Find out how you can go apologize when you're wrong. Or go just tell somebody that you feel like you haven't even wronged. You know what? We're brothers. We're sisters. I like it when Abraham said, we be brethren, Lot. We can't get along like this. We've got to learn to be brothers. So it's not something that we can just pray for and then sit around and wait for the Lord to just bring unity all of a sudden. Because God showed me, he said, I won't force unity on anybody. We can pray for it, but the Lord's not going to force it upon us. And so we've got to humble ourselves, love our brothers and our sisters, and come together in unity. What brings us together best is the mission. When we are on mission, the cause, constantly reminding ourselves why we do what we do. If we forget why we preach, you know what preachers do when they forget why they're preaching? They start worrying about being the best preacher, competing with other preachers. How well did I do? And then we start preaching for amens, and we start preaching for somebody to clap, and we get upset when somebody doesn't shout because we forgot why we're doing what we're doing. We're not doing what we're doing in this pulpit for accolades and applause. We're doing what we're doing. The word pulpit literally means to pull people from the pit, pulpit. So we are trying to reach for souls and pull them from the pits of hell every time we're in this desk. And if we can impact one soul every time we're in the pulpit, we ought to just stop and rejoice in that. And so why are we doing it? We're doing it for souls. We're doing it for souls. Why do we do anything we do? The nursing home ministry, Brother Deckard, you're doing that for souls, and you know as well as I do, if you ever stop doing it for souls, if you do it for applause and accolades and recognition, you don't get it in that ministry, do you? No. A lot of them don't even remember after you leave 5 minutes. They forgot you were there. The staff, they might be good, they appreciate you coming in, but they don't remember much. After you leave, they're not going to care too much about it. And so if you're just doing it for somebody to give me some recognition, you won't find it there. You'll get burnt out quickly. But if you realize every minute I stand in here and sit in here and make an impact on this soul, that is still a soul. I don't care if they're 110 and they don't even know that you're there. That's a soul you're touching. Amen. Whether we're going to the nursing home or we're teaching our little ones in Sunday school, or you're taking care of little babies and bringing some of you mamas and daddies, bringing your babies here on Wednesday night Bible study, and you're just praying, oh, please don't make a lot of noise because it's Wednesday night Bible study. Bless your hearts for bringing your children to church on Wednesday night. Why do you do that? It's about their soul. That's a little soul in that little body. And we train them up in the way they should go. Part of that is bringing them to the house of the Lord. Amen. All right. So one accord means this. One accord means it communicates being, are you ready for this? One, everybody say one. One in heart and mind. Accord. One in heart and mind. In other words, one in our passions and our emotions. That's our heart. So we've got to be passionate as the body of Christ. We've got to be passionate about the same things. Amen. Every time a soul comes up out of this water, it's not just a body, folks. That's a soul going down in Jesus' name. Every single person in this church ought to shout when that soul comes up out of that water. Every single person. If you're running sound and media or you're a greeter, you ought to. That is a soul. That's what we do. That's why we do what we're doing. We're in one accord. We have the same passion, and it's soul. So we shout together over the same things. We rejoice together over the same things. When these little ones get the Holy Ghost or an old one gets the Holy Ghost, we rejoice over that because we're passionate about the same things. We're passionate about souls. Amen. I'll rejoice with you when you get healed in your body. I will. Thank God. I've been sick, and I've been thankful when people prayed for me and I got healed. But I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I'll rejoice with you over getting healed. But did you know that you can still go to heaven with a sore toe? You can go to heaven with an earache and gallbladder pain. You can go to heaven with back aches. Don't want to. You'd like to be feeling good, but that won't keep you out of heaven, but sin. Now, I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings here, but I'm going to be honest with you. I feel like sometimes we shout more over somebody's shoulder getting healed than we do somebody at an altar. And that altar is altering somebody's trajectory. And that water is washing away somebody's sins. So shout with me when I get healed, but oh, shout more when I get saved. I mean, blow the roof off when somebody gets baptized. Blow the roof up when somebody gets the Holy Ghost. We just saved a soul. Somebody just got saved from the pit of hell when that happened. That's what we're passionate about, and we're all one accord, one accord, one accord. We're all one mind, one heart. We're all passionate about that. All of us are passionate about that. I will shout when my grandkids get saved, but I'm not going to sit down when yours get saved. I'm going to shout with yours too. That's a soul. One accord. One in heart and one in mind. Mind, it's our vision. It's our thoughts. The things we ruminate upon, the things that we mull over, the things that we meditate on, the things that we study. These are things that we need to have. So it really is, it comes down to our conversations. These men and women, on the day of Pentecost, with a fresh word from the Lord, to go to Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Ghost. Now, some of you are going to think I sound like an old meanie. Just go ahead and stick your toes out there. I'm going to step on everybody's toes here for a minute. Can you imagine if those 120 went to the upper room and finally found their chairs and sit down and said, "Whew, that's a load off. Can you believe how far the Lord made us walk? Can you believe, whoo, how hot it was out there? And I don't even think they got the air conditioning on in here. Upper room. Whose idea was an upper room on a day like today? And Peter's sitting there thinking, why did I have to sit by John? And John's thinking, yeah, why did you? And then they start saying, you know what? This is just before the Holy Ghost gets poured out. Can you imagine? Fighting over who you're sitting by, worrying about the temperature, how long of a walk it was, how dusty the roads were, the air conditioning. Can you imagine Thomas saying to John, "Did you catch the ball game last night? I told you, I'm going to hurt some of y'all's feelings. Just stick your toes right out there. I'm going to step on all 10 of them. Did you catch that ball game last night?" Listen, I have nothing against sports, and I probably talk too much about golf from the pulpit, and I'm going to stop that unless I get another hole in one, and I will tell you about that. But other than that, I'm going to stop that. But I think we need to be cognizant of the fact that this is a sanctuary. This is a place. I don't mean we can't talk about carnal stuff like that. I don't mean that. But when we're coming in here to have church, we're getting ready to come in and worship the Lord. We shouldn't have to transition from football and baseball and hockey and jobs and politics and the election and all the problems going on your job and the traffic and not when we're getting ready to have service. One mind, one accord, one heart, one. They were singleness of mind. They weren't scattered all over the place. Now listen, after church is over, talk about your favorite teams and we'll talk about golf and all that stuff. But I just feel like the Lord's been dealing with me about the way we come in to his presence. Don't come to church and expect the praise team to pull you into the Spirit. Come to church already praying, already getting your mind upon the Lord. And then when you walk in the door, you come in with thanksgiving in your heart. And then when the praise team starts up, all you're doing is joining in, and they're joining in with you. Why? Because we are one accord. Same mind. Singleness of mind. This is about you, Lord. I've come to worship you. You're first. You're the most important. Everybody in the room that day, all 120 of them, had the same mind. Amen. All right, you can put your shoes back on. I'm done stepping on your toes. One accord and one place. It's important for us to meet here. I hit on it Sunday. Now, all of you people that are watching online right now that are able to be here physically and you're not here, you stick your toes out there for a minute. Because I'm going to step on your toes and tell you, you need to get back in the house of the Lord. There are people tonight that would love to be sitting here, but they're not able. And there's a lot of people that they've allowed, and the pandemic brought it. But we found out that we could just stay home and watch the service online. My precious mother-in-law, I went to visit her a couple days ago, and she said, "I'm so thankful for the live stream. And she can't talk right now. If you've talked to her, you know what I'm talking about. But that the tumor has affected the nerve of her vocal cords, and the best she can do is talk like this. She whispers. And she said, "Ron, pray for her. She calls me Ron." So anyway, I just thought of that. Sister Clara, she said, "Ron, I'm so thankful for our live stream, but it's just not the same. It's not the same." She wants to be here. One mind, one accord, one heart, one place. There's something to be said for us gathering together. So I'm telling you, fight every urge that would try to cause you to miss the house of God. Fight every gravitational force of the enemy that would try to cause you. Does anybody just get tired on Wednesdays about time to get ready for church? Don't have to give yourselves away, but I know how it works. Fight that urge. Get here and worship your way here. And when you get here, God's going to bless you. And then you get here with your other brothers and sisters, and you're just glad you came. You're just glad you came. Somebody said amen. Unity. Now, it doesn't mean uniformity. Unity is not uniformity. It doesn't mean that we're all exactly the same. We don't do everything the same. We don't all act the same. We may not all have the same opinions on every single thing. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul talks about the body of Christ there. Let's just skip through it quickly. I won't stay there very long, but 1 Corinthians 12. Really, this is a prequel to what I taught last Wednesday when I taught from 1 Corinthians 13 about love. 12 leads us into 13. And 12, Paul's talking about spiritual gifts. And he says, no, verse 2, he says, know not that you were Gentiles, you were carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Go down to verse number 4, and he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, differences of administrations, but the same Lord, diversities of operations, but it's the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, that's every person in the church, to profit with all. So God gives Brother Bunch something, not just so he can feel good, but he gives him something maybe that's unique to him, but it profits all of us. And then he might move on Brendan and give him something. Maybe not everybody does that, because your body consists, and Paul's getting ready to break it down, and I'll just do it for him here. He's going to break it down like this. Your body consists of members. You've got fingers, and you've got arms, and you've got a neck, and you've got knees and feet, and I can't do with my feet what I can do with my hands. I can't eat or write with my feet, but I can't walk on my hands. And so every one of us, he likens us to a body, different members, different gifts, diversities of this and that, operations, but we're all important. He even gets down into breaking the body down into parts that we cover and parts that we don't have to cover. And he says it's those parts that are covered up you give more care to and take more care of them. The Lord set those in such a way that you got to be careful with those parts. They can't be exposed to this and that. And you cover them and take care of them. And you have modesty when it comes to them. And he says, is that less important than the part that is seen? No, it could be said it's almost more important. You got to be more careful. So it's not about how seen, how visible we are. We're all important. And that's Paul's point. We all have crucial gifts and operations and things that we bring to the body. And when you stay home, it's like if you're the big toe, you really throw off our balance, see? And you're saying, well, all I am is a big toe. And we're saying, where's the big toe? I'm just a pinky. Well, okay, I dare one of you that would say, just a pinky, come up here. Let me take a little hatchet. And I bet you flinch if I come towards your pinky, because it's important to you. Every single part of the body is an important part of the body to Jesus, and he's given us different things to do. You have something to do. You have something to do. You have something to offer. You have something to offer. It may be it may be more or less visible. It may be more or less persistent and active. But we're all important. We all have our function, and we need to do what the Lord has called us to do. Can you say amen to that? Now, I don't know that I've ever done this, but I'm talking to you about unity and this divided, messed up world that we're in. And I wanted to play something for you here. I've never done this. I don't remember ever doing this anyway. One of my favorite preachers, is that bad to say? One of my favorite preachers is Brother Joel Urshan. Brother Urshan pastors in Cincinnati. His grandfather was our general superintendent for many years ago. And I like to listen to his podcast. I want you to listen to something here. I'd never heard this before this way. And I've thought about just writing it down and repeating it for you and plagiarizing. But I mean, I would tell you it was from him. But let me let you hear it in his words.
And I need to say something this morning. Y'all forgive me because I just did something I don't like doing. I don't like saying white and black in reference to people, because that's a lie from the enemy. We are not white and black. You won't find that any place in your Bible. I don't care what the media says. It's not in the Bible.
You can amen it. I'll tell him you did.
Oh, God. Heal us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Anoint us, Lord.
Before he goes on, let me point out, he preached this message back a few years ago in Cincinnati when there was the policemen had abused somebody. There was a great racial division in Cincinnati during that time, and he's in the heart of that town and preaching to his church about, their church is called the Tree of Life Church. Sorry, I forgot I didn't have the mic up to my mouth here. His, yeah. So anyway, I've never done this before, folks. His church is called Tree of Life Church, and he was speaking to his community about this division. Now listen to this.
Speak to us, Lord. I don't like using the word race because it's not in the Bible. It's a Darwinian concept. That word race in the Bible is used one way, and it involves running. The Bible speaks of kindreds, nations, languages, tongues, peoples, but not race. Look at what the devil did. Look at what the devil did. He's going to divide us up into races. The very word itself denotes competition. The very word itself says that somehow we're in competition with one another. That's not of God. Oh, God. It's a Darwinian concept. It's a survival of the fittest concept. It has set the stage for ethnic cleansing and genocide throughout generations. It is a doctrine of devils. What is supposed to separate races? The color of our skin? What color of our skin? We don't have different skin colors. We have different skin tones. I am very serious about that. We are earth tones. Do you know why we are earth tones? Because when God formed man, he formed man of the dust of the ground. And when you look around this building this morning, you will see light skin and dark skin and everything in between. That doesn't make us different colors. We are from the earth, and we represent and resemble the earth from whence we came. Right. I rebuke the spirit that tries to divide us upon these lines. In Jesus' name, we cast that spirit out. We cast that spirit out, and we're going to be a united church. We're going to be a united church. If you go to the paint store and you tell them that you want to paint your walls white, and you get the paint ready to roll, you take it home and you put it on your walls and it looks like this, take it back. Take it back.
Because I'm not white, you're not white, you're not white, you're not black. We are from the earth, earthy. We are vessels. This is called an earthen vessel. The way it is from the beginning. Yeah. That's the way it is from the very beginning.
Well, I'm going to do that from now on. You're just going to hear him preach. Well, we've got to understand this, that the devil does whatever he can to divide the church. There's not a white church, black church, Hispanic church. That's not who we are. We're the church. There's one church. There's one bride. There's one bride. Now, we've started in our community, we started a Hispanic work for people that because of the language they speak. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we have that. But it's not because they're Hispanic. It's because they need a service that for somebody who speaks Spanish to be able to speak to them. And even within that, they're meeting in Brother Acres' church on Sundays, and Brother Landau, a former missionary, he actually is he's going to Brother Michael Gray's church in Harrisburg. He's heading up this effort. If you know anybody who speaks Spanish in your circles, we have some place they can go now and hear the apostolic message. And God's moving. I'm hearing about 22 people getting Holy Ghost here and there and being baptized in Jesus' name. And we're supporting that work and that effort. Amen. Amen. So what do you say? Let's get this together here. Now, I'm not teaching this tonight because I feel like there's some great divide in our church. But I am telling you, we're getting ready to go into some new ground in this church. When we buy new ground, I know how the devil works. All right? So anytime we start to do something powerful, there's a great legacy church right now. I won't tell you where it is, and I don't want you to know where it is, but they are dealing with major issues right now and dealing with major issues that are coming to legal terms, and that ought not to be in the church. And so if you know what I'm talking about or where I'm talking about, you pray for that church, but just pray in general that God would bring peace. But the former pastor and the current pastor and the church is embroiled in this political stuff that's going on. And folks, if you catch wind of that, can I just challenge you? Don't give it flame. Don't give it breath. Just pray about that. Just pray over that. Pray for those members of that church. We are the body of Christ. And not just Turning Point. We, Brother Sears Church, Brother Hills Church, Terre Haute Church, Shiloh, right now, Shiloh needs our prayers right now. Their pastor passed away some months ago, and they don't have they have no shepherd right now, and they're just trying to get things together and figure out what they're going to do, and so we need to pray right now. Their bishop is, somebody know his name? I can't remember. Brother Gill is stepped in as their bishop. He's one of their officials in their organization, and he's going to help them. But we need to pray. Don't, if you hear talk about things of people that are struggling, this is no time for division in the body of Christ. We're all in this together. You know, I heard this a few years ago. I read this somewhere where people who are in professions like lawyers and doctors and such have this code that they try to live by, that a good doctor that lives by this code, if you go try to complain to him about another doctor, he won't entertain that. And lawyers, if they know what's good for them, they won't entertain you bad-mouthing other lawyers. And here's the reason. It's not that they agree always with the other professionals. It's that they understand that if they bash the professional, they really are doing damage to the profession itself. And if they understand that about professions, we need to understand that about the body of Christ. If we talk badly about other pastors or churches or saints, I don't care if they go to church here or across town or on the other side of the world, we're bringing damage to the church itself. So we're on the same side. We need to be in one mind and one accord. And when we do that, we will suddenly see a move of God like we've never seen before. I'm telling you, things are getting ready to happen like we haven't even imagined are going to happen in the kingdom of God. I'm excited about this drama, Sister Evans. I'm telling you, if you're not on the drama team, I'm going to officially promote everybody. You're on the drama team. as a prayer warrior, okay? So you pray for our drama department. Make that part of your daily prayer. They've been practicing, rehearsing. Their bodies are going to get a little tired. They need strength, and then they need the mighty anointing of God upon them. I believe we're going to see souls saved. This is a good opportunity to invite your neighbors. Invite them out to the drama, all right? Invite your friends out to the drama, and God's going to get a hold of their hearts. Let's stand together tonight. Folks, I didn't preach very long. Brother Urshan took up most of my time. Send him an email. Amen. Oh, God, would you raise your hands? Oh, Lord, I pray over this church. I pray over this body. I thank you for these wonderful, wonderful saints of God. I praise you for them, Lord. I'm asking you, God, that you would set us on fire in these last days. Make us a flame. Help us to be the light that you've called us to be. God, bind us together in a spirit of unity. Help us, Lord, to humble ourselves under your mighty hand and to be of one mind and one accord in one place. And we're going to win this world and turn this world upside down for Jesus. If you believe it, give the Lord a hand clap one more time. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.